This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanasin and Noel Lim. 7:07 a.m. Thursday, the 30th of July. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Carmelo Ferlito of Ideas on the extension of the loan moratoriums. Now, we're also running a poll on the subject on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio, asking you, are you happy with the targeted loan moratorium and flexible repayment options announced by the Prime Minister yesterday? Tell us why or why not. So far, we've had about 31 votes, a pretty mixed bag. 39% have said yes, they're happy with it. 36% said no. A further 25 don't know. Do continue to let us know what you think. But right now, we're taking a look at the markets.
It was a green day in the US. The S&P 500 was up 1.2%. The NASDAQ was up 1.3%. The Dow Jones was up 0.6%. The gold is still flirting with the $2,000 mark. It's down about it's about $1,969 this morning. Just marginally in the red this morning. And if we look at the rest of Asia, it was a mixed bag yesterday. Japan closed in the red 1.15%. Korea was up 0.3%. Australia was down 0.24%. Singapore closed in the red 0.4%. And KLCI was just up just under 0.1% yesterday.
And for more on global markets, this morning we're speaking with Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, thank you so much for joining us. Now, US Q2 GDP numbers come out tonight. What are your expectations on that front?
I mean, it does look like the contraction that we saw in Q1 will deepen significantly. So we're probably going to see an annualized contraction somewhere in the ballpark of about 35%. Annualized, of course, so that's between 8 to 9% Q-on-Q contraction, much of that being contributed by consumption. But also, we bear in mind that one of the very sticky factors there would be business investment. So even as consumption begins to recover in the later part of the year, business investments will continue to be quite a drag.
Are we likely to see more stimulus measures as a result from the U.S. To prevent further economic erosion, especially in light of lower consumer confidence?
I mean, one thing we learned is that the Federal Reserve wants to see some. That's something they made blatantly clear. The ability to converge on what's acceptable to both Democrats and Republicans is the real issue right now. Whereas I think there's no question that the U.S. will provide further stimulus as they go along.
Now, as expected, Vishnu, the Fed maintained an ultra-dovish stance at the end of their FOMC meeting yesterday. Were there any surprises in the announcement for you?
I mean, there's no surprises per se, but I think there were, markets may have been somewhat disappointed by the fact that there was next to no changes in the statement. So the statement was pretty much the same, you know, just making some tweaks for jobs improving slightly and some timing effects. But there was an insertion of a very big line there, which was the path of the economy will depend significantly on the course of the virus. And if we take on its own, it doesn't seem to say much other than stating the obvious. But given that the Fed also sounded very, very concerned about the resurgence of the virus in summer and how it's going to impact on jobs for a long time to come, I think that really puts across a very dovish message that is not resonated enough or that doesn't come across as much in the statement. So I think markets may have appeared slightly disappointed, but that's not fair to the statement.
And Vishnu, investors are also picking up gold as well as selling the USD, which has dropped. Is the greenback being written off too quickly here?
I think, to be fair, there are very good reasons to sell the dollar. The mounting debt levels, the aggressive QE that the Fed remains committed to, and the slight improvement in the global situation, at least coming off the trough. And gold, I think, benefits, you know, even more so from the uncertainty that we see on the geopolitical front. But we must recall that in March, during the worst of the sell-off, even gold was liquidated and dollar was king. So we're not there yet, but there could be bumps along the way where the dollar could be a lot stronger. That's one instance. The other instance is if ECB and BOJ step up their QE far more in response to any second wave risks, so on and so forth, that could also mean that the dollar may not look so negative after all. I mean, gold would still retain its shine in the second case, but the dollar need not be sold off across the board.
Well, speaking about the dollar, Fitch and S&P have downgraded Japan's sovereign debt rating. How will this impact the yen?
I mean, yes, Fitch's negative outlook on the ratings does, I think, put across some of the concerns about economic growth, the rising debt levels, particularly with an ultra aggressive fiscal stance to offset the negative impacts. But I think the yen has shrugged most of this off. I think most of it rightly recognizes that, as a nation, Japan continues to be a net creditor nation. So it's not a big concern. It's an allocation of funds. But the mounting debt is the elephant in the room as to whether Japan can grow out of it or how they're going to address it remains a big concern. And obviously, at this point, things like raising taxes is not the optimal solution either. So I think even as they have flagged this, they're also aware of the constraints on near-term solutions.
And if we take a look at Malaysia's neighbour down south, Singapore's overall unemployment rate rose in the second quarter to its highest level in 10 years. Could we be looking at more job shedding in Singapore, Vishnu?
Roshan, I like the way you asked me to look in the mirror. Then
we hope your job is safe.
Well, I wouldn't know. And I have to say, unfortunately, it does look like Q2 may not be the worst of it. I mean, there's always the issue of job losses tending to lag. We've seen this many times, and it tends to lag with 3 to 4 quarters. So if the situation doesn't improve, further job losses could be somewhat more severe. If the situation stabilizes with all the fiscal backstops, we might see a less severe version of it. But more job losses, unfortunately, appear to be inevitable as we look at the situation with businesses and the uncertainty around it.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Vishnu. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, with his thoughts on global markets. And if we look over at the US as well, earnings season continues over there. PayPal has posted net incomes of $1.53 billion, so that's up 85% on year. Revenue for their second quarter climbed 22% year on year to $5.26 billion. They did see total payment volumes also rise to $222 billion from $172 billion previously, beating expectations.
Yeah, so for the third quarter, PayPal is guiding that it expects 30% growth in total payment volume, 25% growth in currency neutral revenue, and 25% growth in adjusted earnings. I cannot help but contrast Visa, the stock that we spoke about yesterday. The payment volume at Visa actually dropped in the same quarter, and cross-border payments for them also dropped. So perhaps Visa is used for big-ticket items like the travel category.
Not to mention, there's also, I think Visa has a big cross-border element to it as well. And now with borders being the way they are, people aren't really moving around. PayPal last year, in the same quarter, booked in $4.3 billion in revenue. This year, $5.3 billion. Big jump for them in terms of revenue for them. Total expectation for this year is for them to bring in $20.4 billion from $17.8 billion last year. But these are, of course, another 6 months to go in terms of expectations.
Yeah. So, and we also have Shopify on our list this morning, which nearly doubled its revenue in the second quarter. So they crushed analyst estimates as it appeared that a flood of merchants moved their businesses online during the coronavirus pandemic. So it looks like Shopify, like PayPal, is a beneficiary of this boom in e-commerce as a result of people having to stay at home during quarantines. Sales in Shopify grew 97% to $714.3 million. Compared to the same quarter a year ago.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, during the initial phases of the pandemic, Shopify saw Black Friday levels of activity on a daily basis, and the stock shot up. Right, it's now trading at $1,053. It was at the lows in March $332, so it's gone up maybe three times about there. But if you take a look from the beginning of the year, it has about doubled, because at its peak it was around $535. So maybe the expectations have kind of met each other here.
Yeah, so I think if you're interested in the Amazon play, Shopify could be quite interesting as well, because it's obviously it's like the David and Goliath kind of competition.
Only 1,936 times PE though.
Only 1,000 years, 1,900 years to 1,936. Your money. All right, and we're heading into some messages now, and then up next we're going to be speaking with Carmelo Frilito of the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs on the loan moratorium extension that's just been announced. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.